I wonder if we can like sample some minute play for these episodes.
Minute play?
Why can't you, Travis, do your own custom didgeridoo melody?
I don't have it with me.
Well, where would you get one?
All right, we ready for an intro?
Yes, please do it.
3, 2, 1. And welcome to Passions for Life, where your hosts, well, yeah, let's wait for that to go away. Never mind. Sorry, Val. Welcome to Passions for Life, where your hosts, Natalie Z, Travis Schultz, and our American cohort, Benjamin Hayes, pull back the curtain on your favorite show you always denied watching, Passions.
G'day, mate.
G'day. Get out of the way, mate.
We're in the land down under.
That's not even their best song, in my opinion.
Who, Men at Work?
Yeah, I like Overkill much better, just because
can
does.
Can you sing a few bars so that...
I can't get to sleep. Da, 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 da.
Never heard it.
It's a really good album.
Yeah. It's a really good song. That song, I Come From the Land Down Under.
Yeah.
You're here. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's all right.
Woke up, guys.
Yeah, so we just woke up and Ben just had dinner.
No. We had lunch at 11. I'm like, Amy, I don't know what's going on.
That's the best time of day to eat anything. That's when I eat my favorite meal.
I eat breakfast. She does not. So I'm fine having lunch at like 1, where she's more inclined to want to have lunch at 11. We're going to have to get on the same page.
Eventually. Yeah. It's a brand new relationship.
Or the relationship's over.
Group therapy.
Yeah.
Couples counseling.
Yeah. So we're sort of figuring out what the best formula is for this because I...
And it's our Sunday.
I slept in. I kind of fucked everything up. I apologize, boys. I really, really like sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to amend this.
Well, how was your week? How was all of your weeks respectively?
So here's how I like to sum it up. I came home from work the other day and we have been really, really lucky to be able to enroll our child in a school, an in-person school where she wears uniforms like an actual human person and goes and sits in classrooms and there's no Zoom involved. And I came home from work and we're also very, very fortunate that we're living in a very lovely home. And I walk into this lovely home and my kid has a uniform on and it's fucking winter in, almost May and people are speaking weird. And I said, Travis, do you feel like you're living the movie Parasite. You feel like you took over somebody's life and now like, who are we? And that's kind of the best way for me to sort of encapsulate the feeling I'm having. It just feels like I got plonked down in some random stranger's life and now I'm like that person, I guess. So
that movie's a great example because we're in this house pretending like it's our house. So every time I turn to get something to use on the stove, I always pick the wrong drawer, but I act like, no, I knew that. It's actually this drawer. So
that was just a goof.
You know, in Parasite, they're pretending like they're the butler and they live there. And it's like, yeah, I know what's up. No, I don't. I've been here, I don't know how many hours, days. I don't know where I am right now.
I know Travis thought the other day, Travis was like, well, we've only been in Melbourne for 4 days. I'm like, bro, we've been here over a week.
I said, no.
Guys, quarantine really fucked us up.
I can tell you guys are discombobulated.
Well, the first 48 hours after quarantine will fuck you up.
Yeah.
I mean, it did us. It did. The whole family was just a mess. Yeah. And it's funny because they don't, there's the pamphlet that talks about, famous day 10, how it's okay to not be okay. And they give you all these sort of tips and tricks of how to get through quarantine. No one says shit about getting out and how weird it's going to be. And so we were I think we were really taken aback at how disorienting. And so if anyone out there has to do hardcore Australian quarantine, which is not like US quarantine, guys, I promise, they lock you in a room, just know that getting out's weird. I think it'll help to be prepared.
It's an adjustment for sure, especially for a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
But thank you for asking, Ben. That's really sweet.
I've had an interesting week. I contracted a gastro infection.
God, I thought you were going to say venereal disease.
Oh, that one's on you, Ben.
That's last week's pod.
That's right.
I do, and here you go.
The gift that keeps giving.
The gift that keeps on giving. It's not marriage. No, I got this. Well, I assumed it was acid reflux, but for the last 4 days, I've been in extreme pain. I haven't been sleeping, and what I found out is it's gas, which is filling up in my stomach, and it was excruciating. And finally, I'm on some like major Mylanta and major Pepto, and I'm actually able to sit down and talk with you guys.
We just lost the youth audience.
This is part of traveling around the world. You get all kinds of new infections.
Funny, cool viruses.
Yeah, funny, cool viruses. So, which happens to be highly contagious as well. So, you know, we're just...
crossing our fingers.
We're just crossing our fingers here.
How about you, Ben?
Wow. Well, I'm fine. I'm angling here for a sponsorship because, as you guys know, Amy's been very, very busy. So I've had to step up in the cooking department. And the thing is, I'm technically good at doing stuff in the kitchen, but I'm not exactly the creative. I don't have the creative mind that say the Travis has or Amy has, where she can look at the cupboard or the pantry and say, I'm going to take this and this and this and voila, a meal. So I have enlisted the help of Green Chef. So Green Chef, if you're
please Green us. Chef,
if you're listening,
we've been using you for years.
Yeah. We've been doing Green Chef for 3 years. Four no, years?
10 years.
10 years.
Long time. And I have been doing the veggie vegan one, and their recipes are very good.
Did you get those Japanese fritters yet?
Not yet. They're not available.
You're gonna die.
It's not available as an option right now, but
well, has been happening with the menu as well, pandemic and everything. But
we've had a lot of good meals though. And it also teaches you some stuff about how to cook. So Green Chef, if you're listening, we will keep plugging you as long as
I will fucking talk about Green Chef for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
We just signed up for one here in Australia called
Pepper Leaf.
Pepper Leaf. Mm, we'll see how that one is.
Yeah. It's no Green Chef.
Because Natalie's going to be working. I'm going to be cooking.
Well, three times a week, you can, you know, then the other few days I can cobble something together. Like I've gotten very good at this one specific marinara sauce. Anyway, that's what's happening.
That's pretty exciting.
And I'm getting a haircut tomorrow. I'll show you guys. You can see.
Oh, I see the little. Oh, yeah. You got a little flippy.
Got the flips happening.
Yeah, it's time.
Oh, long-haired Ben is so cute.
No, well, maybe we'll come up with a compromise to keep the fans happy.
Okay. All right. passions.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Hey.
Guess what? We're gonna talk about passions.
This is a packed episode.
It is.
It really
weirdly packed. Okay.
Yeah, this is what's kind of bizarre about jumping all over the place.
Yeah, episode 520, by the way.
This is like diving into the deep end of the cesspool.
Well, here's what I like about this episode for you, Ben, is that we're doing like some very non-linear. I'm actually sitting here staring at this DVD cover of Arrival.
We brought our comfort DVDs.
Which I don't know why that's comforting. It makes me cry.
It comforts me, baby, to know someone else is out there.
Yes. So not unlike Arrival. Yeah, I'm comparing Passions to Arrival. This is a real fucking stretch.
Ooh, hold on. Let me turn to face you.
We are doing some very, very creative, non-linear storytelling here from your perspective, Ben, because we've visited, if you guys haven't seen this movie Arrival, it's really good. And it's nothing like Passions.
One of our favorite directors.
We took two really pivotal episodes in this storyline, which is the I'm going to say the first double wedding. I don't know if there's another double wedding, but this is the famous double wedding. And we kind of handed you the meat and potatoes months ago.
Yes.
Now we're circling back and having you see the sort of preamble. Yeah. But not immediately before, so episodes before. So there's shit that happens in between. And again, it's very nonlinear and you have to kind of put things together.
Yeah. You guys are yanking me back and forth in time.
We really are. We really are. And I like it. I like it a lot because I am able to watch these through your perspective, which is making it a little more interesting.
Yeah.
It's like the time yanks now.
That's indeed.
It's not. It's actually the jerk off.
Inappropriate. Did you guys ever see that episode of Lost where this you could watch it as a standalone where Desmond is getting yanked back and forth in time? No?
I've never seen an episode of Lost.
Well, it's a really good episode. So,
I'm actually going to start that one because of the show that I'm shooting. I think that there's some similarities.
Oh, yeah. You know, speaking of La Brea, mm-hmm. I was thinking of all the ways that, like, do you say the title? How do you say that title? Because
in LA,
you like, oh, you're going down to La Brea.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, out here in Australia, they're like, oh, that show on NBC Uni, La Brea.
Nobody says La Brea. They say La Brea.
La Brea.
Do they really have a hard time with it there, Travis? Or are you making something up?
No, he's doing
it. I just like there's so many, like how are people in the Midwest going to say La Brea?
Are we spending time on this?
No, nobody.
Everyone knows the La Brea Tar Pits, right?
I mean, yeah.
World famous.
That's how you say it.
Oh, God.
All right, moving on.
In episode 520, this is, like I said, the sort of the preface, if you will, to famous crashing car double wedding Ivy tabloid. So we get to see the buildup. And you are not wrong. Because normally what we do is we kind of go by storyline.
Right.
And I think all of us were like, oops, new storyline. Oops, new character. Oops. Oh, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Everybody's here.
Yeah, usually there's four storylines, and they'll stay in their little respective story lanes. But here, these lanes converge many times,
and it's all so the entire episode is focused on one story.
Right. Yeah.
There's no A, B, and C story, which is also what makes it different. Which is why it was a little more enjoyable to watch because I felt like it was kind of what is it called? What's the word I'm looking for? They I don't know, messed it up, shook it up. They they changed it up. They changed it up.
Changed it.
The word I was looking for was change.
Oh my God. So discombobulated.
So we start out with Kay and Charity.
Yes.
Fucking with the mantilla.
I don't know this word. What is this word?
No one does. What is this word?
I had to Google as well. And it is that little thing.
Yeah, but it's a veil. Is it Spanish for veil? I didn't look it up. I was lazy.
Veil.
Yes, it's a veil.
Well, but don't. This is the shit that they would do. This is how they would bring in sort of Latin culture. Is they would throw in a Spanish word and have everybody say it, including the white characters. Like, oh no, this is a thing, totally. And it's just like so. Like, try harder, guys. I'm sorry, I'm already starting out.
Well, I just was confused, and I was too lazy to look it up. But
the problem is you're not wrong.
No, yeah, I'm not wrong.
I do
remember them doing this occasionally where they would just throw in a Spanish word and have the white characters use it as if like, yeah, you're an asshole if you don't know this word. And it was not a word. It wasn't like gracias. It was like mantilla.
A very specific word. Yeah. It's sort of like if I went to your house to make some Green Chef and I was using the frying pan, but I only referred to it by the Spanish word sartén. And you'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, but the passions world, you'd be like, yeah, of course. Sartén.
There's sartén. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But wait, I just realized. So listeners, Ben speaks Spanish. You had not heard of this word.
I had not heard this word. No.
Okay. Then I'm definitely over.
Yeah. I thought that Jesse was mumbling.
Well, he's probably scared.
What is Miguel saying? He's like, when I fell in love with you, as soon as I saw you in that bridal mantilla, and I'm like, what is he? What? What is he saying?
Yeah.
I had to listen to it three times and I just Googled it and I'm like, oh, okay. So who's this?
That
is she wearing
it's Teresa's? Teresa's.
Yes. Teresa's.
Wearing Teresa's.
Yeah.
And again, that's a thing. Like people will go to other people's houses and put on their wedding dress before they do.
Well, you guys have been married. I have not. So I'm assuming
every woman in every woman in my family has done that.
Well, hold on.
It has happened to them and they've done it to other people.
Hold on.
My mom, my sister, my mom's mom.
But you
I'm actually
guys...
going to stop you right there because, and this is a real thing that happened. After our wedding, Travis, this actually happened. Every woman at our wedding went back into our closet in Hawaii and tried on my wedding dress. Every woman.
Really?
Well, your mom didn't. I think my mom did. Cher did.
After.
Sally did.
After.
Yes, obviously.
After.
But
doesn't make it that much. The fact that it happened after doesn't make it that much less weird.
It was a weird thing that happened. Everybody had some drinks. And it was a real pretty dress. And everybody was like, can I try it? Sure. Yes, after Travis. Also, the teenagers talking about marriage.
Oh, I was like, gag me with a spoon.
My skin crawl. Especially when Miguel said, this makes me think about our wedding day. I had a physical, visceral, a fucking 16-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. No. It was those little girl, 13-year-olds in the attic writing that line.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, right, yeah. Isn't that kind of them making an assumption about another, like an ethnic group or something? Or am I just like reaching?
I just thought that they had a very, very limited and very specific idea of what a wedding would be. That does not seem real to me, because it seems like if you're a teenager, you're like, not my wedding. I'm going to get married in you know, Cancun on the beach,
right?
You know? It seems like they're conforming to a very WASPy sort of standard.
Or a very Catholic.
Yeah, yeah. Very traditional. Yeah. Traditional.
Well, very traditional. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was that age, I actually didn't want to get married, but thought, oh, but if I was talked into it, it would be this like very chic kind of New York City Hall affair where we go and do it and then go to the cafe and have champagne.
That's Sex and the City episode, right?
Other people have done it.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, speaking of the church, I mean, Ben, as a you know, as the representative of Catholicism here, you know, I mean, so tea leaves, you've avoided that still, right? Reading.
Well, I can't even drink tea because I'm so scared of tea leaves.
Right. That's what I thought, because the church does not endorse those kind of things. And I was curious. I was like, so the church endorses molestation?
Right, but not tea leaves.
No tea leaves. You can't play with the Ouija board, but you can play with
little boys.
Little boys. We're going to get in trouble for this one.
You know, I always like to, you know, tread in those waters, buddy.
Yeah, you do.
That's true.
You guys, you know, one of my favorites. Yeah, that was one of my favorite storylines, that one.
Wait, so are we moving over to the Tabitha Timmy?
No, I just took a cue. I love putting you on the spot.
I can handle it. If you want to bring all the Catholic fire to me, I can handle
bring
it.
The fire.
Bring the fire.
Oh, it'll come to you in your death.
The fuego. That's Spanish for fire.
Oh, right. I mean, everything's in fuego here in Melbourne.
That's right.
That's loca.
That's kind of all I really had about the K charity thing, is that it seemed not very imaginative, and that charity was being kind of enjoyably passive aggressive in a way.
Passive aggressive.
Yeah. So I think I need some clarity here. So
wait, hold on. You need some charity clarity?
I need some charity clarity.
Okay.
Hashtag it.
Charity clarity. So if Charity pops her cherry, she becomes very powerful.
Yes, we talked about that. The weird
But if K bangs Miguel, no way can Charity become powerful.
I think because if he gets with K, then Charity won't get de-virginized.
Because there's only one boy.
There's only one that can do it. But like,
there's only one dick to go around, Travis.
That's right.
I know. What I'm saying is, so Miguel's dick can only get wet once, and then Charity's done. Right.
This would have been an opportunity for Tabitha to explain the rules of the world.
Right. Well, that's what I'm confused. Right. I'm like, so if there's a threesome, what happens then?
Well, somebody goes first.
Well, what if Charity goes first?
Then Charity wins.
And what if Kay goes first?
Then she's the winner.
Then Charity loses.
I think Jesse's the winner. I mean, Miguel.
Right.
I think Miguel's the winner.
Undoubtedly, right, so. But the rules of magic and good versus. Then that's a different set of criteria.
Okay, so hashtag charity clarity is Miguel Charity equals power. K
for,
Miguel
for good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If K and Miguel hook up, then Charity doesn't get bad power. She just gets no power.
But Tabitha and Timmy win. Like
they win
because their power is not threatened.
Have we talked about how it's gross I know that he knows it. Have we talked about how it's gross that Tabitha and Timmy are somehow have huge stakes in the sex lives of teenagers?
Yes.
Okay. We have.
I mean,
no, well, I don't know if we talked about it, but it is weird. It's gross. Like they're very involved in who's doing who.
Yeah.
Who's doing who.
Yeah. And I understand that it's legitimate because it affects them in a big way, but also gross.
But also there's the gross element because Timmy's in love with Charity. So he, like, in a way, he can't want her. Wait, he wants her to be his girlfriend.
Yes.
But that would that would be bad for him and Tabitha. So it's very complicated.
Right, right, right. All but
no,
also,
that would be good for him.
No, it wouldn't, because they need for fuck.
No, if Timmy hooks up with Charity.
But he can't. He's a doll.
That means no.
He's also kind of a child, which adds another layer of the grossness.
Yeah, there's a lot of factor.
I'm not gonna draw lines about that stuff.
Okay. Well,
we should move on.
We should move on. The one last thing I want to say about Charity, though, is Ben. I wrote Ben. You like her? Because I found, yes, as much as I did find it somewhat satisfying that she was being passive aggressive, I so much prefer her as zombie Charity. She just is so fucking insipid as Charity. I don't know what you see. I don't know what you see in her. Your new girlfriend.
I don't think.
Why are you getting involved in this triangle?
Because I wasn't around in the show. I mean, I could have been.
Maybe.
I could have been Reese.
That's right. Well, Reese did come up.
Yeah, I know.
Reese. Ross. Just talking about Ross.
All right, Travis, we're going to cut you off there.
Let's move on. Okay. I would like to transition into...
It's water and coffee, guys. I have not started.
The Lopez Fitzgerald tangential family member. I mean, I guess she's an aunt. Christine is an aunt and he's an uncle. But like, who's...
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
From the homeland.
From the homeland, wherever that may be.
Right. Yes. Okay.
south of the border.
South of some border. I wrote...
Francisco.
I wrote, oh God, I'm so A, inarticulate, and B, such a dick. I wrote, these TV actors are not good. First of all, they're not TV actors. They're like talk show hosts, right?
She's a talk show host. She is very famous.
I don't know. I'm not sure about him.
I feel like he's also some, I don't feel as though they hired her and then just hired a random actor. He is either an actor who's known or notable for something, or he's also a personality, a TV personality.
In the business, we refer to it as stunt casting.
That's right. Yeah.
But I refer to them as TV actors on my notes.
That's funny.
Which is what I am.
Which you are.
Yeah. I understand that at least she's not an actor. It made me very uncomfortable. It makes me very uncomfortable watching personalities attempt to act. Mm-hmm. That's like one of those things. It's like fingernail chalkboard for me to have to watch people who aren't actors act amongst people who are.
Okay.
Anyone else?
No, I'm with you.
I hate stunt casting a lot.
It's gross.
Do you remember?
Sometimes it's great.
Go ahead.
Name one.
Yeah.
Name one that's good.
Name one. No, sorry, you said it right.
Oh, you go first, Ben. I can't. I don't think.
I was just, when Prince was on New Girl, that was kind of fun.
That was fun. That was good.
Okay.
But that's
it's still uncomfortable to watch Prince.
Be Prince? That's never uncomfortable.
Super just fan.
Acknowledge that feeling.
I no idea
about Prince.
Why Travis is such a fan.
I know.
What's your favorite Prince song?
That one? It's funny. This happened later in life. Like, I never really... took the time, and I still have it, but I just like wasn't until towards the end where I was kind of like, oh my God, this guy was doing some cool shit.
Yeah they
how did I miss this? I was like, I was into the grunge and the thing and the
same. Here's a plug, maybe they'll sponsor us. The Current is a public radio station out of St. Paul, Minnesota. And they had a Prince appreciation night on Monday night. So that's what I listened to when I was cooking The Green Chef.
The Green Chef.
Yes.
My dad.
There you go.
My dad.
I'll have to check that out.
Really hated Prince.
Really?
Yeah. And I think that had an influence. Prince and Madonna. He's not a prude. You know, he appreciates pop culture and all things cool. I fucking hated Prince. So
weird. That's strange.
I know. I think he thought he was a little obscene. Also, like... Again, he's super woke and he's great and he's very cool and progressive. But like, he was like, are you a boy? Are you a girl? I don't know. It's uncomfortable.
Check.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, moving on to the TV actors who are not good, who aren't TV actors. Ryan McPartland, it says new Hank is growing on me, even though is he new Hank? And was he ever not growing on me? Hmm. I just thought his energy was so... lovely, like such a breath of fresh air, like having this like big giant person walk in the room and kind of almost knock things over with his like positivity and like.
So completely 180 degrees opposite. Yeah.
Yes, of everybody.
The Hank
room.
Before.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, it was so.
Like dour.
So Hank. They went yeah. completely different way.
Yes. The old Hank was haunted. He had demons. You know,
he did. And this Hank was like, a man, I love everybody. Retriever yeah. who just yeah. walks in and starts licking everyone.
Yeah. 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 He's
can we talk about this thing that made me so angry, this monologue?
Is this the pranking? The pranking monologue?
There's,
yeah.
there's yes. a lot. Of, there's a lot of things.
Ben, that, you're gonna love the pranking monologue.
The pranking monologue.
I laughed so my ass off.
Oh my god!
I was like that. I was like, oh my god, he's pulling the ultimate wedding prank. if only
Ben loves this shit. Love this shit, Ben. You're such a prankster. You and Clooney.
I so love them, and I was like, this is. Sure, it might ruin some lives, but you've got to, you know, you cannot make an omelet without cracking a few prank eggs.
When the opportunity, you know this as a prankster, Ben.
Yes.
When an opportunity presents itself, you do not walk away.
No.
You capitalize on that.
You must. I mean, it's a moral imperative in my universe.
And like you said, as a pro, no matter how many lives are destroyed, you go forward.
That's right.
And you prank.
I know.
Yeah. You prank with your heart to your heart's content.
That's right. Pranksgiving.
Okay. First of all, you have the pop cans.
Oh, the pop cans.
Yeah. And everyone opened, not at the same time, but different places. I'm yeah. like, wow, great choice, guys. Pop cans.
Bad for sound.
Nope. Sound didn't care. They were actually looking at their phones. So pop. There's the can, and then there's
no
the shots. Then,
so they were
there's like,
the
while he's doing this monologue, you got Miguel in the background indicating that this is a joke before yeah. we even know it. And then you have, again, this attempt at this kind of Friends-esque moment humor
mm-hmm. yeah,
that just goes flat. And this yes. is consistent in this show, consistent every time, and this is something that we're always complaining about,
yeah.
is how when they want to make comedy and they just can't.
Right.
They want to make comedy out of something that's not even remotely funny.
They're not funny. Right. And what they're doing, it goes so flat because it goes against the actors, it goes against the way it's shot, it goes against the
concept of comedy.
The concept of yeah. comedy. I mean, it's.
I was just telling Francisco how Sheridan and I had planned every last detail of our wedding, so there's really no reason for me to have last minute jitters.
Oh, that's what I said on the morning of my wedding to La Luz de mi vida, Cristina. I believed I thought of everything, but on the day of the ceremony, it suddenly hit me. I thought of everything to do with the wedding and nothing to do with our lives afterwards. But I'm sure Louis hasn't made the same mistake, huh?
Well, Sheridan and I don't really have to worry about that. We're pretty much going to stick with the way things are. So I don't really see any transition. Besides, our love is so strong. I know we can deal with any changes.
Of course, yeah. Love is the most important thing. And surely you two have talked about how Sheridan will now be living on your salary instead of the crane fortunes he's used to.
Yeah, yeah, well, we've talked about it.
Oh, hey, no doubt you worked out a sensible budget. That. After you pay the rent, utilities, and gas for your car, there will be enough money left over for at least one or two meals a day that cooked by your beautiful bride and...
Sheridan Cook. Look, everything's going to be fine, okay? I am used to feeding a lot of mouths on the paycheck that I bring home.
Of course, yeah. But you've always had the benefit of your mother's income as well, no? Not to worry, eh? I'm sure you and Sheridan will have no trouble getting by in a small one-bedroom apartment, hmm? Of course, but when the babies come, you will need a house, hmm? But I'm certain you've already started a special savings account for that, huh? And niños, woo, the things they need, clothes and school books and braces for their little teeth and... but no matter, eh? Whatever life dishes out, I'm sure my big, brave nephew can handle it.
It's just they miss.
Should we explain what we're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead. Let's contextualize it.
So this person who may or may not have been a stunt cast. He starts
Francisco.
He starts rambling on to Louise about how I don't even know how to explain this, about how marrying Sheridan is going to be so hard because she's going to have to cook food. And
that was my favorite line, by the way.
Oh, Sheridan cook. I wrote it down. Yeah. Sheridan cook.
Sheridan cook.
Sheridan cook.
What well, made worry?
We're going to get back to that because I love me some Galen Gehring, and I think he's just so charming and charismatic to watch. But that was one of the worst fucking line deliveries I've ever seen anyone do.
Sheridan cook.
Anyway, so he's going off about how, you know, Sheridan, she's going to have to cook him. And once you start having babies, don't worry. Babies are hard to take care of, too. And you're going to have to get three jobs. And don't worry, though, when the rent comes, hopefully you'll be able to pay it. And like, what? This is, I guess, the Lopez Fitzgerald's idea of a prank.
Yes.
I don't understand where the prank was.
Okay. I have a thought, and it's not
Did anyone.
A good one. You know how in Shakespeare comedies, like someone will say, I have a plan. I'm going to go talk about how much I like this other person, and that's going to throw Beatrice off the scent. Now, it works in the universe of Shakespeare. Like, okay, yeah, he's going to take the emotional bait and that's going to lead him to do something rash and call off the wedding. But outside of Shakespeare, to me, that never works. Like, if you're relying on, like, you know, like a influence campaign. I feel like, you know, I feel like it's just there's too many moving parts. So
unless it's Twitter, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, and also like what was the desired outcome? It wasn't obviously that Luis would be like, I can't handle this. I hadn't thought about paying rent because you can't pay rent unless you're married. Like, that's the other thing. Whatever.
Well, no, the payoff was, as his wife said, Christine says, oh, that's just Francisco being a dick. It's his way. It's like he thinks it's
dad,
funny.
It's like your friend's dad who makes, like, I guess, dumb, outdated jokes. Yeah.
The guy that Except like makes the inappropriate jokes. In front of your kids.
Except the difference is like, everyone in the kitchen pretended to also think it was hilarious.
Right.
When there was nothing hilarious. So yeah, I want to actually micromanage Galen's line reading of Sheridan Cook.
Sheridan Cook.
Again, I think he's a gifted comic actor when given, you know, the right material, which we've gone over. But my God, bro. I don't even know if I can do it. So Francisco's like, you know, and then Sheridan has to learn how to cook because, you know, God forbid boys cook. And he just, it's almost like he was saying, fuck you to the writers. Like, I'm going to deliver this line as poorly as possible. So maybe they'll cut it. Sheridan Cook.
Sheridan Cook.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he,
you got it.
He
and then there was a long pause.
They left him like out.
No, they fucked him.
In the wind. And just even the like, okay, so here we're going to have you spill the coffee.
Oh, right. Is that why?
And I'm like, wow.
Oh, okay.
Christine
says her response to making this all better is, I'll make you some more coffee.
Yes.
Like, yes. What?
But and it was also like, I'll make you some more coffee. It's okay. Right. such sincere.
Right.
Sincerity in those words.
Yeah, I just felt I felt like I lost minutes of my life.
Well, maybe this will cheer you up. I was the whole episode thinking, why are all these people at Tabitha's house? and then towards the end, I was like, that doesn't actually make any sense, even that in Passion's world.
What also doesn't make sense is why are Tabitha and Timmy at the Lopez Fitzgerald's?
That is the next question I have. Like, all right, so they're not at Tabitha's house. Still, something's not right here.
Right.
Why is the crazy lady from the neighborhood holding court?
Yeah. Yeah. Who doesn't have an invite to the wedding.
Right.
Oh, because she can't go into a church because she'll die.
Right.
Right. And she did just like let her wander around the house with her doll that she talks to.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one blinks twice.
No.
So I would like to talk about Gwen Hotchkiss.
Oh, okay.
Which unless you guys have more.
No.
I mean,
no.
There is Teresa, which I thought could be a separate.
Yeah, yeah. No, the that whole thing felt like, I think you're right. It was a bad attempt at like a comedy you know, probably trying to emulate comedy from the 80s. Didn't work.
Yeah, and it reminded me, too, of the hospital stuff when, like, Rebecca laying on her side, that kind of thing, where the writing's just, it's overdone.
Yeah.
And that joke could have been tightened up. That monologue didn't need to be 20 seconds.
Well, yes, and it could have been, there needed to be a motivation for it. I think you're absolutely right. What's the point of this? Why are you trying to give your nephew a panic attack on his wedding day?
Yeah. Right, and this is also, there's no nervousness ever established about Luis. Luis is decisive. He's always, even if it's a mistake, he goes, barrels forward into that mistake. He's not a guy that second guesses himself. Yeah. So then suddenly to have this character that we know nothing about come in and have the ability to make him second guess himself, it's like there's nothing there. You're like, Luis has had his boss tell him to put his gun away. And he's like, no, I'm not putting my gun away. You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't.
Yeah, it wasn't consistent.
It was out of character. And that's why, the joke didn't work.
And also, did you enjoy how everyone was in on it at the end? They're like, yeah, got you. Good one, bro. We just made you doubt your entire future to the point that you're having a heart, you know, you're going to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, pranks. Yeah, you know, sometimes there are casualties involved in pranks.
Amy happened to walk in while I was watching, and she heard the line, no, I'm cool as a cat cucumber.
Okay, so that was a fuck up. Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up. So Galen messed up his line and recovered. And that was the most Galen I've ever seen him actually on screen. He was like, I'm as cool as a cat or cucumber, whatever it is. I think the line was cool as a cucumber and he just fucked it up. And they went with it.
And they kept it because
it was cute.
It was,
Totally works. Amy pointed
out. Yeah, that was, you definitely saw.
Yeah, I was like, oh, there he is. I know that guy.
Yeah, it was a happy accident. It was good.
Yeah.
All right, Gwen.
Let's do it. Sorry for moving on from good to Gwen.
I'm loving both of these outfits. I mean, the granny lacy outfit on Sheridan.
Oh yeah.
What is that? What is she wearing? Like her bridal lingerie with a.
You know what it reminds me of is that scene in Grease 2 where Paula. Judy Garland's youngest. What is her actual name?
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank on this one.
The chaser. I think it's L. So we'll figure it out.
Lorna Loft.
She is wearing a very similar outfit during the Christmas, not pageant, but the talent show.
The Calendar
it's
Girls?
It's almost identical. Yes, it's exactly her outfit. I think they just were like, yeah, let's do that. Mackenzie looks incredible. She looks. So, I do remember also shooting those scenes and being like, you look really good.
Both look lovely.
Thank you.
Handsome ladies.
I did a voiceover and at the very top of this episode and did not recognize my own voice. I thought, I said, that hand looks like my hand. Whose voice is that? Apparently it was mine. Also, there was a flashback with Rebecca in this episode with me and Andrea. And in the flashback, I sound like I have a cold. That's what I noticed.
That happens. That happened a lot.
It did. Did it? Well, and because I was thinking, course I had a cold. I got sick all the time. It was in my 20s, and we were allowed to expose ourselves to germs.
All those STDs.
keep coming.
And they keep weaseling their way in. That Sheridan Cottage has also been fun fact. It's the
a lot of STDs there,
and it's it's also the set where Travis and I met.
Oh, nice! Congratulations. Oh, they're shaking hands. like a loving couple does.
He's got an infection in his gut. I'm not going to guess him.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, so that covers. Oh, jeez.
No, I got some stuff to cover about that.
Well,
there
is a line that I want to bring up, but I feel like it might be too early that we might have more to talk about before we.
A line in the cottage?
Yeah.
I think I may know what it is. Is it came on so suddenly it can't be that serious?
God damn it. Why are you in my head? Yes.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Well,
okay.
All right.
But is this before you fall down?
No, it's after. So
So of course let's talk about your technique here.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So the technique that I saw was the roll up eyes and then the the dead eye roll. The eye roll technique along with the fall like a sack of potatoes. Mm-hmm. That was your choice. Mm-hmm. So tell me about that.
I'm scared. I feel like I'm going to get in trouble.
I wrote nice faint, Natalie.
Well, that's the thing. There's like the slow fall and she did the wham.
Yeah.
That's what I do because I like to be rooted in reality, which I'm going to go off about in a second. That's sort of my go-to fainting. I definitely do the eye roll in the back of the head and then the
timber.
Fall.
Yeah, the timber. That was a timber too.
That's all
Not
I do.
Not a crumple at the knees.
Mm-mm. Uh-huh. That's the only fainting technique I have. But what I'm learning, I'm about to start shooting an action show. And what I'm learning is playing the reality, playing the reality of the situation doesn't always look good.
Doesn't look good.
I'm seeing, I'm doing a lot of stunt rehearsal and
heavy breathing. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Also, don't make that face.
Yeah.
Don't make a face.
It's really...
Everybody sees what you're doing. You don't need to make a face.
Watch an action film.
Close your mouth.
They're running, but you don't hear them going... Mm-mm. You just see them going...
Also, don't do that with your hands. Don't do that with your hands.
Don't do that with your
hands. Never do that with your hands.
You got your work cut out for you.
I have requested playback, and I've been told I will have it.
I say to Natalie at least 5 times a day, don't do that with your hands. Don't do that with your hands.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna.
Yeah, but there's nothing. I thought your faint was good. I'm not sure why.
I'm bringing it back to when I faint, my technique is play the reality of the situation, which for a faint, it actually works. I think the eye roll in the back of the head, the sack of potatoes, that's a great faint technique. So I'm going to stick with it, but I thought it was good too. I thought it looked really good. But when it comes to more action driven stuff that I'm about to do, I made a very concise choice last night in my sleep, I guess. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play the reality of the situation because there is no reality. There's no sinkhole. Sinkhole's not a thing.
Spoiler.
Wow.
Well.
Wow.
Guys. What?
Find out.
All I know is that the medical
wisdom.
It's a
show about plumbers.
The medical wisdom of it came on suddenly. It can't be anything serious.
It can't be that serious. Yeah.
Is not good medical wisdom.
I do love that we both caught that.
Dr. Eve Russell would disagree.
She probably got that from Eve.
So things like aneurysms.
Right.
Strokes.
Right.
AKA sudden heart attacks.
They're fine. I clocked that as well because I thought to myself, you know, as we get older, we're more aware of death and just shit that happens to our bodies and to our family's bodies. And like
intestines.
We're just acutely aware that shit can go wrong within a millisecond. So the irony of that statement was not lost on me. I'm so glad that you also picked it up.
Yes, of course.
What a dumb piece of shit that she was in.
And that's Sheridan.
No, it's
right?
Me.
No.
Oh, no.
Because I'm trying to convince her that I'm fine.
And that's something, but it's also something that no mother ever said.
Right.
No parent ever said. Mm-hmm. Like, no.
No person ever said it because you know that you can die in an instant. Your brain can just go, nope, and throw a clot and you're dead.
But, you know, you see the writers, you're like, well, let's just figure out a way to get her out of there quick. So why don't we have just someone say, there's nothing wrong with you?
Well, let's figure out how to martyr her even further.
Yeah. I mean, Gwen's going to ruin the wedding.
Gwen's going to fucking ruin the wedding.
Again, who tries on rings?
Here's what's dumb. I have tried on my friend's engagement rings and felt kind of weird about it, I'm going to be honest. But they've told me to. I have never tried on a friend's wedding ring. Like, boring. No, thanks. I don't want to try on your dumb gold band.
That's what's so strange.
Well,
it's not even that pretty.
No, it's dumb.
Like we such a Gwen move.
Exactly.
I'll never get married. And then, we got to talk about how this poison works. So this poison, as soon as it comes off, it stops working.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. That was loud.
That was not a dog.
That was me.
That was Natalie.
Yeah, I got really excited.
And then the poison goes away immediately when you take the ring off.
And then you're fine.
So it's kind of like kryptonite, right?
Mm-hmm. Isn't there an equivalent? There is something in the world that does
how it
that.
Affects Superman. That's like if it touches your skin.
It's that thing from Fight Club.
What thing from Fight Club?
Well, when he holds the stuff over the hand and it starts to burn his hand.
Oh, and then he neutralizes it
with alcohol or something.
No, it's not.
Well, that's like an acid or a base reaction, but like a poison, like a toxin. Speaking of toxins, I found a black widow nest in my garage, by the way.
Gross. Does Amy have a spider thing?
No, I do. And
oh shit. Okay.
And she actually made fun of me. This is a whole tangent. I apologize, Val, and people listening. But this has to be said. Amy has made fun of me for years now because when I go to the garage, I'm kind of on high alert because I've seen spiders in there, and there's webs everywhere. And she always is like, what are you worried about? Well, I will tell you what I'm worried about. I found a black widow the other day, the size of a quarter, in the garage.
Oof.
Yeah. And then you know what else I found next to it? Little egg sacs.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So I took a picture and I said, Amy, I know that, you know, we're trying to be kind to animals, but these guys, they're dead. I killed them.
No, you got that. They have to go. They have to go.
I killed them. I killed them all. Anyway. Okay. So, so if those spiders inject you just because you killed the spider, you still have the poison in your system. So this ring thing does not add up.
Well, listeners, I feel like we need to, there's got to be something out there.
Unless it's magic. If it's magic.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there's
but it's not magic because Julian figured it out.
Right. That's my point, is that it's bullshit. Like if you just because you take the ring off doesn't mean that the venom's gone. So
yeah. Agree to disagree. Rebecca.
Speaking of venom,
did you guys notice? I'm back in the crane. I'm in the Crane Mansion. I've transitioned onto the Crane Mansion because I think we'll end with you, my love.
Oh wait, I do want to. There was something you did in that scene where you did your mock giggle.
Mm-hmm.
You covered your mouth. Mm-hmm. I was like, that was truly like one of the moments where I was like, oh, Natalie, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were really trying.
I was trying
to be excited or something.
I watched it too, and I was like, sweetie.
I'm pointing fingers. And I do the same thing. Like my performance in this, I can't wait to tear apart. But in this particular episode, but yeah, that was very. I was like, oh,
I felt
Natalie,
it too. I watched it. I was like, oops,
coquettish. That hand over the lip.
Who is that person?
Oh, it's so exciting.
I'm so excited for your wedding that like no, I'm not.
No, and that's the thing. Myself. You wouldn't even need that. It's like Gwen's really dying inside right now.
No.
Okay, that's all I want. Sorry.
I don't have much about Rebecca, Julian, and I because I do want to get to you and Chad because I have some thoughts. But there's little shit that, of course, we love about Ben, like him sniffing the coffee.
Oh my God! Here I go. That's going to be the second part of the second semester. Yeah. It's like we're going to talk about that coffee smell.
Well, because I saw so immediately genius.
That was not in the script.
No, I saw immediately that there was real coffee, and the props guys were always really great about making sure that the coffee was hot and steamy because you see it. And I always remember thinking, that seems like a lot of trouble to go to. But I noticed I was paying attention to nothing but the steam and the coffee in the scene. And Ben Masters obviously knew that I was only looking at the coffee. So what did he do? He made a bit with the coffee because he's fucking who he is.
Oh, God. I just hope I can be that good someday.
Me too. Did you notice that, Ben?
I did not.
Okay.
Oh.
What an American.
I guess. What an American.
I was paying attention to things like the voiceover acting style, which I wrote as the opposite of method acting. It's trying to call attention, trying to call attention to the artifice. You're not trying to do anything naturalistic at all. And I was impressed, you know, but he makes it work. That's the great thing. It's like he's,
that's kind of what we're admiring is.
Yeah.
He's acknowledging it and winking at the audience at the same time and being inventive and interesting and as well as the character. I mean, the fact that you can see Julian in this moment of just sheer panic and not trusting anyone. I mean, it's rooted in this world. Mm. You know, he had such the elaborate mind of Julian was Bennett mastered. You know what I mean? Like he had created this like twisted mind. God, you know, he's so fucked up and he loved it. He loved making him so darker consistent. And more twisted. You know, it's like, that's what I'd love to just have him talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of a convoluted and almost, it's a way that is a little unorthodox in actually disappearing into a role because you're creating a character that is so big that you can't, even if you escalate it and heighten it, it doesn't ever feel false. You know, it's such a creation.
Yeah. It's just painted on.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It like never feels false. It always feels exactly what Julian would do.
Yeah.
I also had not caught this before, but I'm sure that this was something that is said over these next several episodes, that the only way to keep Louise from marrying into the family is to kill Sheridan. Huh? What? That's it.
That's the only one.
That's the only way. Well, look, I mean, you got to raise those stakes.
Look what you made me do.
Look what you made me do. I want to. I mean, I have a teeny tiny note about Ivy, but obviously the meat and potatoes really is Chad and Ethan.
Oh, yeah. Well, before we transition, there is one small thing I'd like to complain about. It's about spiders.
Please, you go on.
No, it's not about spiders. Yeah. they go to a huge amount of, they do a lot of work to set up this, the keys being put on the table by Ivy.
And, oh, yes.
And the phone being disconnected. And even though I don't think it pays off in this episode, but I assume she gets locked in her room and therefore she cannot get out to
Nope.
So they don't even pay that off?
Wait, hold on, hold on.
No. That's why, yeah. I think that's what happens.
Oh, it does. Okay,
then
sorry.
She slams the car into the wedding.
Right.
Right. But no, I see what Ben is saying. Yeah. So they leave the keys on the table. Mm-hmm. She goes and she goes, oh, I need to look in that envelope.
Yeah.
And the door is locked. Yes, of course that's what happens. I'm all so right. sorry.
Yay. That's okay. But there's a bobby pin that Muriel's fixing the door. There's mm-hmm. the keys that are left on the thing. And mm-hmm. what's funny to it's me clue. Is I was thinking about it. I was like, if she had just closed the door and all of a sudden it was locked, I never would have thought twice about it. They didn't have to set up any of that. They went to a lot of work to establish something that no one would have blinked twice at. Like, well, oh, shit.
That's what's so infuriating about the writing of the show is that they do go to that kind of trouble for that kind of thing when it's so unnecessary. And yet these gaping plot holes, like Margaret easily saying the wrong name.
Yeah.
I got to say, I disagree completely. I think this is soap opera writing at its best because this is what they do. They have to, here's on a piece of paper, it's Ivy gets locked in her room. And then they're like, okay, we have, that's 20 pages out of 100. How do we do that? Mm. And then this is what they do. They're like, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll have someone come in. Oh, you're not supposed to be here. I told everybody to go to work. Oh, yeah, but your door's broken, so I thought I'd use my bobby pin. Okay, great. Now we know. Like, this is soap opera writing. You have to fill up the pages with the action of the scene is, like Ben said, it's just she gets locked in the room.
I don't disagree with you. I think what Ben and I are saying is it's inconsistent with what these particular writers tend to do. Like, I think we're all actually on the same page. Like, yes. This is a very soapy way to go about doing, you know, solving this quote unquote problem for All My Children or, you know, Days of Our Lives. But like they don't fucking bother generally. So like,
right. I was thinking like who in the audience is going to, if they had not done that, if they had not done any of those setups with the bobby pin and the keys on the table, who in the audience would have said, I don't buy it. That door, I didn't know that door wasn't working.
Right.
It's
just, somebody on the message boards would have been very upset. That one boards. Guy.
And I have a question for you, Natalie. Will you please briefly talk about the splash of water to wake you up, to snap you up?
Absolutely. Thank you, Ben. I definitely wanted to talk
there
about
was a
that.
Lot. There was a lot Go, of...
Talk, explain the water bit.
There was a lot of talk about it because, you know, hair and makeup and all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And we only had one shot. And Rebecca, Andrea Evans is not what one would call sporty. So in terms of her aim, you know, I don't think there was a lot of confidence, even though she's fine. She's a person who can splash water on somebody. Doesn't take a lot of skill. But yeah, it was like the equivalent of doing like a really big stunt that you get one chance at, because God forbid we have to like dry me off. And yet I was dry.
Because there wasn't any water. It was such a tiny amount of water.
Right.
No, it's like they shot the scene and then inserted the splash at the end. Yeah.
I think we'll do
the splash at the end.
Yes. So thank you for reminding me of the splash of water, because that's not the first and it probably won't be the last time that I've been splashed in the face with water. I think
So after the splash, you did wake up dry. I mean, you saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was dry. There was no one gave you a towel. To dry off your face.
No, no one gave me a towel.
No.
I don't think so.
She just...
Yeah, everything was fine.
And most of the water kind of hit your ear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
Your shoulder.
I'm just thinking, if I was hanging out with you guys and one of you fainted, probably Natalie, because she's so good at it, I would probably fill up like at least 2 cups worth of water to like really.
Yeah, no, douse me.
Yeah.
That's what wakes people up.
Yeah.
When Travis passes out, I beat the shit out of his face when he passes out.
Yeah.
She's a slapper.
Yeah.
Usually because I've drank too much.
No, it's never that.
I love you.
All right.
Are we on to Ethan?
Yeah, let's go. Meat and potatoes, Ethan.
Oh.
Oh. So.
Okay. First of all, Dawn is so good.
He
in
is
this
so
scene.
Goddamn
so
good.
So good. Makes me look like it's my first day at work.
He really does. I hate to be a dick.
I wrote, I wrote, wow, this is so forced and I'm so stiff. And I did not have a solid grasp of the dialogue in this scene, did I? I mean, I'm like, the look on my face is, I'm just saying whatever comes to my head, Chad.
I have, Chad is making sense. I'm sorry.
A lot of sense.
I mean, he.
Don't be sorry. He made a choice.
He did a thing that you do in acting, which is making a choice.
Yeah.
Somebody else in the scene did not.
No, I just chose kind of angry. And remember, mildly, remember your dialogue.
Yeah.
Try to remember your dialogue with an angry face.
Now, when you watch these scenes, Travis, do you remember when it's a scene like this where like it's not super eventful, right? Because there are scenes that I watch where I'm like, oh, I remember that day. And there are others where I'm like, was that me? So for instance, a scene like this, do you remember shooting that?
I do remember these kind of scenes because I think, oh, this was a scene that I could do. And not be pulled into hell.
Or such
not...
a strong endorsement, Travis.
Right. This was a scene that there was a beginning and an end. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there's a progression of the character starts out in one place and ends up in another. Not just the, you know, Tuesday to Thursday stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was very disappointing to see me just...
Yes.
yes, arc. Thank you.
I was thinking it too.
Yeah, arc is the word I was looking for. God.
You got it.
Still got the fucking...
Brain fog.
Quarantine brain. But yes, I did not step to the plate. And other sports analogies.
You also said...
Oh, it's like my speech impediment kicks in. And
you said you were talking about, and this is not your fault. This is the writing. Whose computer sent the email?
And yes.
The computers now are whose sending computer? The emails.
I know.
Bless Don Swaby's fucking heart. He, God damn, he handled this so well. He's like, all right. Listen, what if hypothetically, I feel like he made up all his dialogue because this dialogue sounded so logical. Like, what if hypothetically, and it was hard too, because he was doing a lot of like the person who did the thing and that person was not the person and the person and the person. And I'm sure he took that monologue and just completely X'd out and rewrote it.
Do you wish he said, bro, computers are not sentient. They don't send emails.
he was this close to saying that.
Yeah. I wish I would have done the same. Just made it my own.
Yeah.
I'm with you that he was great and a lot of stuff was really good until he turned around and had the issue of the tabloid in his back pocket.
Hanging out of his back pocket.
Completely not inconspicuous at all. Like if I was with you and Travis, I was talking to you and you're like, yeah, I'm going to go do something. You turn around and you had a giant frickin' magazine like the LA Weekly rolled up. I'd be like, is there an article I should read? Why are you clinging on to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't see it.
No, I am.
It was your wedding day.
Too caught up in trying to remember my dialogue.
Why were you not in a tux? Because everyone in this episode was pretty much dressed for the wedding except you and Don.
Well, I think we had... Well, because Chad had told me I got something to tell you. And we both had our tuxes.
Yeah, in those vows.
We were ready. Okay, yeah, okay. Something about vows probably or you know, hey, you know, go check on Teresa for me. Yeah it was very typical kind of gathering of characters on Passions, you know, just like, yeah, it's their wedding day, but they're gonna meet at the park slash
cemetery
slash
any outdoor area.
Backyard.
Right. Yeah.
But then eventually you do get dressed. Girl. In your tux, and you go to the church, right? And that's when you get
my hair slicked back.
Mm-hmm. That's when you get a call from your mom, who
from my mother.
For a minute, I thought it was Sheridan. I just confused them temporarily.
So I'm sure
you're
Ethan
so confused.
Too. Yeah,
you've been so confused.
There is one last dangling participle of this episode, and that is our beloved Teresita, who I know we're kind of working backwards in time here, but weirdly, she doesn't. There's not a lot of her. Mm-hmm. In this, I mean, I guess because there certainly will be in future episodes. She is straight up fucking psychopath, like not trying to hide it anymore, not trying to, you know, sugarcoat it with, but she's real cute and she's a kid. Straight up, when she's talking to Whitney, scary, scary, crazy person who needs to be put in a room. That's all I have to say about that.
Here's what I wrote about.
I can't read that. You have nothing. You got nothing. Well, it was not the most interesting stuff in the episode. I mean,
no,
it really wasn't. Because Natalie, there was nothing there.
No, it was like, just, this person is
information
crazy
that everybody already knows. And Teresa's just like, oh my God, he can't find out. He can't find out. And that was it.
Does anyone have any lingering thoughts before we go to our theme?
I loved Chad's look when Ethan says it's the happiest day of my life. I wrote priceless.
Priceless.
Because he had like so much information and emotion conveyed in one little sort of curl of his lip. Like, yeah. Don't speak buddy. Too soon. And I thought Tabitha did a really fun thing scattering the rice. And once she found out that the rice killed the birds, that was kind of funny.
That was funny.
Yeah, she's like, what do I care about birds?
Yeah.
And then she was scattering. She's going, cheep, cheep, or peep, peep.
Cheep,
or
cheep.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. And she was carrying she was carrying Josh again to come back to that. I was like, oh, yeah, she's getting a bit of a workout.
Yeah, and holding the bag. Yeah, the box. Yeah. She's the box. Which I was excited because I'm like, what does that box say? What does that box say?
I know. And it says
Uncle Davies. And it looked like at first I thought it had been changed with a black marker. And then but the transfer was so bad. I was like, oh no, that's just the transfer. They actually created a label, but it was Uncle Davies. That's what it was.
That's something I do a lot is create fake brands and fake names. And it can be fun.
Working that is fun. Art department. Yeah.
Well, one of my favorite moments is when I say, well, thank you, mother. Thank you for banishing my butterflies.
So bad.
What the fuck?
Oh, you had the worst lines, Travis.
Yeah, I did.
Oh my God. Why did they hate you so much? Did they hate Eric as much as they hated you? They didn't. I bet you they didn't.
No, I think.
I bet they were like.
Well, Eric did it better too.
But Eric, I don't. And I you saw maybe, 20 episodes that he did after he left. But I don't think they gave him stupid shit like that.
Oh, because he didn't sit there all day bitching at him, probably.
Yeah, he was grateful.
Yeah, he was grateful. I'm an ungrateful fuck.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's do themes.
Yeah.
Let's do themes.
Themes. Boom, boom, ba-dum, boom.
Theme. My theme is daddy issues ruin the world. This is based on Julian's inability to be happy with his father's or his absent father's absent love, leading him to kill his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a theme that I realize in our current political climate. Every one of the fucking bastards who's doing shitty shit, they all have daddy issues.
Oh yeah. My theme is never trust the Mantia.
Oh, you guys really brought it in. I just had don't go banishing my butterflies.
Is that a TLC song?
Yes.
Don't go banishing butterflies.
Yeah, that's all I could come up with.
We're gonna get sued.
And then I think I gotta keep around hashtag charity clarity.
Yeah, charity clarity. That may be a thing.
Yes.
Right. What am I looking for?
Let's start it.
Okay, all right. We're gonna start charity.
Speaking
clarity.
Of,
yeah,
everyone out there listening, please rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars. Give us five stars. And it just keeps us going.
It's a binary choice.
It is.
Yeah. We also do listeners' emails in the middle of the week. So you can email us your comments, your questions.
Your bitches.
You
can bitch at us.
If you want to join us. emailpassions@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at Passions for Life Pod and hashtag charity clarity. Gonna work that one into the comments.
We're on Twitter at Passions 4. Hit us up.
Yeah. So there you go. That's all the tech we have to offer you. And next week we have a jam packed show, so you don't want to miss it.
That's right.
It hasn't happened yet, but it's gonna be great. And take care of yourselves.
Yes, be safe.
Take care of each other.
Get your shots.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Manifold. Sheridan Cook.